The Philadelphia Orchestra continues their residency at SPAC this week with a pair of performances of The Firebird, directed by Jenny Young, which is a puppet and dance performance set to Stravinsky's original score. Young's Firebird draws on the symbolism and dramaturgy of the original figures from Russian folklore and reinterprets them in a contemporary South African setting using larger-than-life puppets and African dance forms. The Firebird will be performed with the Philadelphia Orchestra tomorrow, August 11th at 3 p.m. and Friday the 12th at 8 p.m. Jenny Young is a multi-award-winning puppet creator, designer, and director, and it's a great pleasure to have her join us on the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a delight to have you on the program.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for your interest in the show.
Well, thank you very much. The road to this show coming to Saratoga is an interesting one. And give us an idea of how you got the idea and ultimately what you wanted to accomplish with the creation of Firebird.
Well, the initial idea was IMG artists who have produced the tour in the States. So they felt that it would be lovely to combine live classical music with puppet theater from Handspring Puppet Company. So they approached us about the idea, and we considered which piece of classical music would be interesting. And it was immediately very appealing as a concept to work with a live orchestra. I mean, you know, just the power of the idea of being on stage with a full orchestra is just really captivating right from the start. So then thinking about which piece, the fiber just stood out as something that has a great resonance with the form of puppetry because it has... It has a lot of metaphorical form inside of it. And the puppet, of course, is a sculpted creation, a representation of something. And so working inside of a metaphorical and mythological world, you know, there's obviously a very strong relationship there. And then also, I personally have a very long relationship with Russian mythology. I find it very interesting and a great parallel for our human psyche. So for me, right from the start, looking at the Firebird as a parallel for an individual's mind going through a process was an exciting challenge and something that I set off to achieve in the creation of this project.
Did you ever want to stay with the Russian roots, or was it always your idea to reinterpret it to a South African setting?
Well, it was straight away, for me as an artist, it's always about bringing my own honest relationship with something to the fore. So, you know, being South African and living in today's world, for me it was about finding mirrors and reflections and relationships between my context where I live and my world with that Russian mythology. So it was not a either or for me. It was a matter of sort of building the two worlds together in order to be able to give something that's deeply rooted in an honest interpretation and also very, for me, deeply inspired by the original.
With that idea of what you call an honest interpretation, are there very set things that you have to have included, or is imagination allowed and you really can create what you want to create?
Who would be allowing or not allowing in that question?
I think you, the artist.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I would never hold myself captive to say I have to use this or not that. I suppose, you know, the Firebird. There's going to have to be a Firebird, right? What is a Firebird, though? It's a mythological creature that has that in the original draws out the Prince Ivan from himself. He's wandering through this dark space, an uncertain space. He's on a journey of a sort of an initiation journey, a rite of passage into adulthood, and he comes into this dark space of Kashai, and then he finds this inspiration, this passion, this wonder of the Firebird. So the Firebird lifts him out of himself and gives him a new sense of energy and purpose. And you know, it's really that carries him through the journey. So the Firebird, I mean, the Firebird has to be there. But what is a Firebird? You know, when you're talking about the interpretation of that kind of energy into a form, And so my answer to that question was, well, it's the quality of passion and inspiration that I'm looking for, and there's something bird-like in that. There's something wonderful about the parallel between a bird and inspiration. So we looked first at paper birds, fragments of paper, then more formed collective birds, then birds that involve more material. So basically throughout the production, you see bird-like forms emerging and progressively becoming more formed, more naturalistic, more highly detailed and developed as the seeker, who's our central figure, develops her relationship with her own passion and creativity.
It's an interesting concept because, of course, when we see a traditional orchestra performance, we are watching the orchestra. That is our viewpoint. That is what we're looking at. So do you want there to be a mix, or do you really want everyone looking at what you are doing?
To be honest, I want the people to be feeling and hearing the music. Mm-hmm. And looking at the dance and the puppetry, because I feel that the music's real power. Of course, seeing the orchestra perform is a wonderful thing, but that's for a different artistic experience to see that. In this instance, you can't take in more than everything that is being put on the stage by the five-bird performance. Visually, there's so much going on that if you were also to be watching the cellist, it's just too much. So for me, it's really important that you're feeling the music, that you're hearing it. You know, we just performed in Sun Valley in their pavilion, and the acoustic was so great in there that there was no need for amplification, and people were entirely in touch with the live sound. And for me, that's a kind of artistic magic, when you can have people feeling the sound almost viscerally coming through the air at them. And then the performance is tied into that sound, created around the sound. I mean, Stravinsky's sound was everything to us in the working process. It has a very clear drive. It has very complex rhythms. It has a lot of layering of meaning inside of the music. It's very emotional music. So relating to the content that came from the music for me was a very key aspect to working on this production.
Were there unique challenges in the creation of the puppets for this version of Firebird?
Oh, yes. You know, every time we make a new puppet theater production, mm-hmm. there are tools that come from previous experience. Like, you know that if you're making a joint, you have to stop it from bending beyond a certain point. It goes up, and then it needs to, the joint needs to stop. So what do you do about that? You have to put in a certain thing, which is called a stop, and there are ways of doing that. So obviously you've got mechanical techniques that help you to answer the question of any kind of puppet thing that you may be building. But then the specifics of a newly formed puppet, like the most developed bird in this piece before the dragon, which is really, you know, the ultimate firebird, the blending of the two, the bird and the beast forms. So the bird, the biggest bird that you see in the production, is quite a complex puppet creation, and it's the first time that I've created anything of that kind. Working with my team of puppet builders, we had to resolve a lot of questions, like how do you raise a thing of that scale up off the floor? How do you flap the wing? And, you know, a bird's flap is not just simply like up and down. It flaps forward, especially when it's fighting. And this particular puppet needs to be able to fight with the beast. So I had to answer the question about what does it need to be able to express that kind of slightly aggressive or quite aggressive energy with its wings. You know, it needs to be able to tilt them as well as flap them. So we went through quite a mechanical process of answering those questions. And then, of course, the dragon, which emerges at the end from the egg, is a massive construction and has had many engineering people working on it and many challenges associated with it, because it's just not every day that you build a thing on that scale. It's just really big. And so the challenges of, you know, you sort of have ideas of what works and what materials are going to work, but when you put aluminum in something and you think that's going to be strong enough, but then the sheer force of gravity and the weight of the thing, you know, it's not carrying it, and then you have to replace pieces with steel. And, you know, so we had quite a exciting process in resolving all the challenges around the dragon.
What ingredients do you believe need to be in place for a puppeteer to be to your specifications and quality?
For a puppeteer?
Yes.
Performing puppeteer? Well, this production is very specifically demanding of a puppeteer because a puppeteer has to be able to dance fluidly and move their body with an extremely high level of body consciousness. So that is not something that a lot of puppeteers have. There are some puppeteers who have it, but they're not a lot because puppetry is often a very, it's a form where you foreground the object and your body sinks into the background, becomes quite invisible even though it's visible. So often puppeteers are not necessarily people who have a huge amount of physical vocabulary. However, for this production, we really were bringing together the forms of dance, the energy of the body with the object, communicating through the whole picture, both of the physical dancing body and the objects that are surrounding it. So we needed our puppeteers to be able to master that skill as well. But very specifically, a puppeteer has to have a kind of imagination that can believe and think through an object. That's the only way to describe it, was to be able to really bring an object to life. The puppeteer has to project thoughts into the head of the puppet, has to actually think for the puppet in a continuous narrative to be able to relate to its environment, looking, perceiving, breathing. These qualities and signs of life are what create the magic in puppetry, and so it really takes a very skilled person to be able to create those things while performing, while dancing.
So, not to parse this too much, but just because I'm curious, and maybe this is an impossible question to answer, I don't know, but are you looking for a dancer who can do puppetry, or are you looking for a puppeteer who can dance?
Well, that's not an impossible question, and in fact, it was a very interesting process that we went through with the selection of the cast. So we first had auditions, normal auditions, and then we had a week-long workshop process where we asked people to do both. And what we were looking for was people who really had a capacity to do both, who could answer to both skill sets that were being called forth. And some of them didn't manage fully. But the thing that was the overriding principle, which would carry them forward into the production, was their creative imagination. If they were able to fully believe in the process, to contribute creatively, and to have that the fine hand skill to be able to learn the technicalities of creating life in object, which is puppetry. So there are some technical requirements, and you can learn those things if you have the capacity. So all the dancers had to have that baseline capacity in manipulating objects, and all the puppeteers had to be able to move. So we ended up with more dancers than puppeteers in the production, because it's easier to teach somebody the techniques of puppetry who is a dancer than it is to teach a puppeteer to dance in 8 weeks. It's impossible. Most puppeteers come from a theater background, so they have a theatrical training, and then they train in puppetry is like a specialization on top of, because you couldn't take somebody who can't act and put them in a very serious theatrical production because they can manage some other form. It's just the amount of time doesn't allow for that base level of skill that we had to have.
I know this production has taken place in the city of Philadelphia with the Philadelphia Orchestra. What was it like for you to see this production come alive with the Philadelphia Orchestra?
It was actually quite moving. There's this moment at the end in the curtain call when the performers are all lined up in the front. And we've devised this, you guys call it the bows. So in the bows, they turn round and they lift the wings of the dragon, obscure the orchestra at the end. You can't really see them. So our performers turn and they lift the wings of the dragon and the orchestra stands up. And there are 125 people on stage who have just created the synthesis. And for me, it is just moving to experience the depth and the breadth of that music relating to what was being created on stage for the first time. Just really moving.
Pretty marvelous. The Firebird will be performed with the Philadelphia Orchestra tomorrow, August 11th at 3 p.m. and Friday the 12th at 8 p.m. at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. You can go to SPAC.org for more information, SPAC.org. Jenny Young, I thank you very much for being with us this morning. Have a wonderful trip to Saratoga, and I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning.
Pleasure. pleasure. Thank you for having me on your show.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the Firebird will be performed twice with the Philadelphia Orchestra, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Friday at 8, SPAC.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.